If you weren't here this morning, let me just introduce my family real quick one more time. If you guys will stand real fast. I know, I just told them to turn in their Bibles, and now they have to put their Bibles down and wait. This is how it works. It's my wife, Brenda, my son, Andrew, Lily, and Elizabeth. And so thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. It's one of those things that I don't have a ministry if I don't have my family. And so I have to make sure that I do the best I can for my family. I can't get out there and work and do all those things and just be the best missionary I can be if I lose my family. And so I've got to make sure I do right by my family at all times. And so that's just a side note. It has nothing to do with the message, amen? Just one of those things. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Look at Acts chapter 3, and I read through this chapter the other day, and just one phrase kind of jumped out at me. Look at verse 16. We're going to come back, and we're going to read most of the chapter, but look at verse 16. Acts chapter 3, verse 16, okay? And we're going to talk about the story of the healing and all that, but it was just this phrase that kind of jumped out at me. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And I thought, what an interesting phrase. Perfect soundness. So, of course, what I do? Look it up. Amen? That's what you do when you see a phrase in the Bible that you're like, that's kind of different. I wonder what they mean by that. You look it up, right? That's what you should do. Okay, and you can't tell me, well, I don't have a Bible this, and I don't have a dictionary, I don't have one of those Webster's 1811, you know, awesome dictionary. I don't have that stuff. You have a phone that has Google. You can look it up just like I can. Amen? All right. So I took a look at that, and that particular phrase means physical wholeness. Physical wholeness. And I thought, man, what a different thing. And so it just brought me back. That particular phrase brought me back to the beginning of chapter 3. And I thought, let me read that again and again and again. And I read through it a few more times. And the Lord gave me this thought. Whenever I read my Bible, I said this morning, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it every time you see me. When I read my Bible, I ask questions. What's that there for? What is going on here? What is the Bible trying to show me here? What is the writer writing about right here? Those are the things that you should be asking as well. When you're reading your Bible, ask questions. Think about it. Okay? It's not just a check mark on a board that says, I read my chapters this day. Okay? Think about it. Start when you're reading, think about it. And so the question I happened to ask was, what can happen when we are all together with God? What can happen? Take a look back in chapter 2, verse 44. Verse 44 in chapter 2, okay? And we're going to read a couple lines before we get into this main story of this lame man being healed. But look at Acts 2, starting in verse number 44. And the Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. What an amazing statement, just that right there. I mean, you could go all kinds of directions just with that statement. And sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Can you imagine that being what we do in our churches today? You want to join the church? Sure. Sell everything you have and give it to the church and we'll divvy it out to whoever needs it. You signing up? I'm not signing up. What's going on? No, I'm not selling everything I own. That's what they did here. And all believed were together and had all things in common. In verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's an amazing thought of what started happening when they all got together. When they were all thinking together. They were all going the same path, the same direction. They all said, we like what we hear, we want to be a part of it, and we're going with you. Isn't it amazing what could happen if we all got on the same page If we all got together and said, you know what? We're going to do everything we can and go the same direction as everyone else right here in the church. And I'm not talking about the same direction out there in the world. I'm talking about right here in the church house, the same direction that you're being taught from this pulpit. Everybody on board, yes, we're going to go that direction. It would be amazing to see that happen. Let's pray and we'll get into this and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you again for taking the time and loving us, Lord. For saving us, Lord. I thank you for my salvation. There's nothing I can do in this world without you. I probably will pray, Lord, now that tonight, that the folks that are here tonight, Lord, they've come back to hear from you. I pray that they have come expecting, Lord. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for always taking care of our needs, always blessing us, Lord, always being there for us. Help us to be on the same page with you, Lord. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we look at this story, and we see already that this church is together, okay? The idea is they're walking the same path. They're together. So we come upon Peter and John, okay? Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, we know where we're at in the story. Peter and John are here at the temple, and they're walking through this open area, beautiful, the entrance into the temple. And they see this man who has been put here time and time and time again. And so we see this story, and I go back to that word together. Peter and John were together. Together is in cooperation. If you want to look up the word, you see in cooperation, as one, in unison, with one accord, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, ready to serve God together. How often do we try and go at this world alone? We try to get out there and do things on our own instead of allowing our family to be there with us. I was telling these dear folks here in the back, my church is my family. That's my family. That's an extension of the family that I have. It's an amazing thing to be able to call someone up and say, hey, brother, this is what I'm dealing with right now. Can you pray with me about this? Hey, sister, this is, you know, I've got this going on and this going on. Man, is there something that you could do to help me out? That's what a church family is all about. But we look in this story and we see this lame man and we see John and Peter walking in and they see him. And in verse number 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have to give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What an amazing, miraculous thing to happen. This is someone that they have seen over and over and over and over. They're walking into the temple and they walk past this guy over and over again. And some of the people inside the temple may have tossed him a few coins. Some of the people inside the temple have just shunned him and walked by and thought, I don't want anything to do with this. It's that guy again. Man, I have to walk by that guy again. Can you imagine their thought and what happened in their minds when they saw him come in? When they saw him walk in with John and Peter? See, the first thing I see here, I see a perfect weakness. In verses 1 through 3, you see where it says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He was born that way. He has always been that way. And don't we understand that sin has always been in us? We're born that way. You're born as a sinner. You deal with those troubles, those things every day. You deal with this flesh every single day. All of us do. Look, there's not one of us that deals with something. We deal with it in different aspects, but everyone deals with sin. Everyone deals with this flesh. Isn't it amazing that we all have the same person that stares? We all have the same problem. It's that person that stares at us in the mirror. We all have that same will. Am I going to serve God today or am I going to serve the world? Each one of us have that. He was born this way. He has always been this way. It's amazing to me, this perfect weakness. And in 2 Corinthians, let me just read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. A lot of times we think, we see weakness in someone, we think, man, maybe there's something wrong with their life. There's something going on. There's some trouble. And God sees weakness and sees strength. Because you rely on God, because you've given it to God, because you've said, whatever it is, whether it be a bill or a trouble going on in your life, because you've decided, I'm just going to give this to God. I'm going to lay it right there. And sometimes your family's not going to understand. Sometimes even some of your friends aren't going to understand. Well, what are you doing about that bill? What are you doing about that trouble? What are you going to do? Well, I've given it to God. No, seriously. What are you going to do? No, I gave it to God. I'm not doing anything. I'm waiting. That's perfect weakness. See, weakness is not what we think is weakness. We think weakness, you know, some puny guy that can't lift anything, right? Physical. No, weakness is allowing God to be the strength in your life. God has all the strength. He has all the power. Why don't we just allow him to be that solid pillar in our life? It's perfect weakness. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of them that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so that the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by much, much more than they receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What are we talking about here? In our weakness, in our perfect weakness, as long as we are together with God, he's got it. He's taking care of us. He's the one that's going to get us through. He's the one that we can lean upon. He's the one that we can say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to take care of this. I don't know what's next, but I'm just leaving it right there and letting you have it. Letting you take care of it. Letting you be the one that drives the bus. Letting you be the one that's in the driver's seat, not the passenger seat. I want you in full control of my life. That's just perfect weakness. And then as we look in this passage, looking back at Acts chapter 3, and we see in this passage where not only do we see a perfect weakness, but I see a perfect firmness, a perfect firmness. Firmness is strength. Strength. Starting in verse number 4, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something to them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately, he received strength. He received an ability, a power, something supernatural. A miracle happened in his life. Do you know that miracles can still happen in your life? Do you know that? Do you know God can still take care of the oh wow moments? Those things that you think, man, there's never going to happen. And God's got it. He can take care of it. He still is a miracle-doing God. You don't read these stories and think, man, that's cool. I wish I would have been around during that time period. It's the same God. We serve exactly the same God. He hasn't changed. He is the same. It's us. We change. A lot of times our problem is here's God right here, and this is what we're doing. We're taking steps back. We're walking away. We are getting out of fellowship. Draw an eye unto God, and He'll draw an eye unto you. The closer you get to God, the better off you are. Perfect, firm, perfect strength. It's amazing how God has everything planned out, everything working the way that it needs to work. And we see things and we look at it from our worldly eyes and we think, there's no way that can work. God, how's that going to work out? How are you going to take care of that? Come on, we're real sometimes. We look at the problem and we think, man, it's never going to work. And God works it out. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You got troubles, you got things, you got physical problems, whatever it may be, I don't know. Whatever it is in your life, but God does. He knows. He knows the trouble. He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what you need. He's just waiting for you to say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you to work it out. I need you to take care of it. It's amazing to me that we struggle with some of the things. I don't know, I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse. Troubles and trials. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's trying to get you guys to hear. I don't know. But it just seems like the same thing's coming out of my mouth. I'm listening to it going, you're repeating yourself, brother. What are you talking about? I don't know. Somebody needs this tonight. Somebody needs to hear that whatever you're going through, whatever trouble, whatever thing is going in your life right now, God's got you. He's got you. Let him. Stop trying to drive it. Stop trying to force it. Take a step back and say, okay, God, I'm sorry. I've been trying to do it my own and I'm done. Not that you're quitting. You're just done trying to do it on your own. Let God have it. Let him have control of it. Looking back in Acts chapter 3, not only do we see perfect weakness in this man's life, and we see perfect firmness as he receives strength and that miracle happened, then we see a perfect witness. The Bible says, and leaping up stood, verse number 8, leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Perfect witness. All those people that have been walking by that doorway at that temple, they knew him. They knew that was, hey, that's that guy. That's that guy that sat by the temple. I thought he was lame. I thought his ankles and feet were messed up. There's no way that's the same. That's the guy. I tell you, that's the guy. You know? What a perfect witness he becomes. He entered in with them. Here's the thing. What can really happen when we are with him? With him. Not working against him. When you're with him, you have no problem reading your Bible. When you're with Him, you have no problem when it comes to prayer time. And I'm not talking about praying for your meals. And I'm not talking about, you know, the quick 5-minute prayers that you say before you take a trip. I'm talking about prayer. When you get in a closet on your own or whatever it may be, whether it's a chair in your office or whatever it is, wherever your area is that you get on your knees with God, that's what I'm talking about. When you get on your knees and you go to God and you say, God, I just don't know what to do. I need your help. Or you know what? There's days when you can get on your knees and go, God, you've been so good to me. I have no needs. I have nothing that I need right now. I just want to tell you how good you are. I just want to tell you how much I love you and all the ways that you blessed me, God. I don't know what else to say. I'm just so excited about how you've been taking care of my life. There can be days like that, but why not allow that? When you're with God, when you're walking with God, you become that perfect witness. People can see it in you. Jesus shines out. They see it. They look at you and they think, there's something, what's going on in your life? You're all right? You smile a little more. Maybe that'll tell you. You frown a lot. Amen. You're smart. There's a pep in your step. There's something different. Well, you know, I'm just thankful that God's been taking care of this. And let me just tell you how God's been taking care of my, man, talking about a wonderful, look, as a soul winner out there knocking doors or just in a store, wherever you may be, and someone looks at you and goes, hey, there's something, somebody who knows you, somebody you see often, there's something going on, something different in your life. What's going on? Man, talking about saying sick 'em, let me tell you what God's doing in my life. Let me just tell you how God's been blessing me and answering this prayer and that prayer. And man, my church is, everything has been going great. And man, it's just been wonderful. Let me just tell you. Are you excited about what God's doing in your life? I know that I'm kind of crazy. I'm all over the place. I get that. I understand. That's the Arkansas in me, okay? I don't know how to stand still. When I got saved, man, I told everybody. I was calling my old bosses. I got saved. You got what? What? Who is this? I was excited. I wanted everybody to know. I thought everybody needed to know. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? When you get saved, you tell everybody. You tell your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin who got married to whoever it may be. You tell everybody. Why? You want them to know the same person you know. You should be that perfect witness. There are places that you go that someone in this church never goes to. Not a bad place. I'm just saying like you go to a certain store and you live on that side of town and somebody who lives on this side of town is never going to be in that store. There's no reason for them to drive that direction. But you go there every day or every other day or every week on Friday. You're at this particular gas station that you like because it's easy to get to, right? And you see this particular guy or girl standing at the cashier register, whatever it may be, and you see them every week. Have you invited them to church? Do they know you go to church? Do you smile at them? Do you thank them for what they've been doing? Those are opportunities that we all get. It's not just for me, the missionary. If I sent you back a report that, yeah, I saw about 1,000 people today, but I didn't hand out anything. I didn't give them anything. I just looked at them and waved. Hey, how you doing? You would think me a sorry missionary. You really would. I would think me a sorry missionary. It's not just for the missionary. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the staff of your church. It's everyone's job to tell others about Christ. You should have that in you. Every person you see away from your home is a soul, a precious soul that needs Christ. Everyone. Are you that perfect witness? I see perfect weakness, perfect firmness. a perfect witness. And then back to verse 16, we see that perfect soundness. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, "And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John." "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." They were confused. They were like, what is going on? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith is his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Oh! I'm thinking about their faces. They're like, wow, this is cool. Oh. Jesus. I remember that name. That was the guy that we said, oh. And they're so ecstatic about this miracle that has happened. And the Jews were just, they were so physical, they needed to see it. And when they did see it, it was like, oh no. We did that? See, this man received perfect soundness, physical wholeness. But if you look at it on the other side of it, when you received Christ, you received all the Holy Spirit. You just didn't get a little bit. You just didn't get a taste. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to put a drop on you, and if you do okay, then, you know, you can do all right. We'll give you a little drop next time. Each time you come to church, you'll get a drop. And another drop. Now, if you keep coming to church, you're going to get... No, it didn't work that way. You got saved. The Holy Spirit resides in your heart. The same Holy Spirit. Each and every one of you. And me. And your pastor and whoever else who has accepted Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit resides in you. It's up to you to grow spiritually. See, you're never going to get to a point where you are grown spiritually. Like, you're not going to get to a point where, you know what, I already know everything about this Bible, I'm just going to put it away. This is not going to work that way. This is not called the living Word of God for no reason. It's amazing. I love when you read a passage of Scripture and you get to it and you think, I've read that before, and I've read it again, and I read it again. And, you know, you might have read the passage 15 times, and you get to that 16th time, and God says, boom, I want you to see this. And you go, what? That was not there before. They must have just added that to my Bible. Come on. That couldn't have been there before. What happened? You're starting to grow a little bit. Spiritually, you're starting to get some things. And now God can reveal a little bit more. Look, if God said, if we got saved and God said, okay, this is what everything means, boom, we would fall out. Our brains would explode. We couldn't handle it all at once. He knows that. Just like some of us can't handle $1 million. I mean, we pray for it, but God knows you can't handle it. You pray and pray and pray and pray and say, God, I just need that $1 million. God's like, I don't think so. You can't handle $100. Why am I going to give you $1 million? Look, you have to continue to grow. You have to continue to try to do everything you can to learn more about what God has for your life. Each and every one of you have something to give. You have some sort of skill that you are good at. that you can give to God. You don't have to be the missionary that goes out. Some of you may be. Please don't misunderstand me. I may be looking at a few missionaries right now who have kind of sat on the fence and thought, well, maybe God's calling me, maybe not, I'm not sure. That's okay, keep praying about it. Keep praying about it. God will let you know. But each and every one of you have something you can give to God. Something you do very well. Why not? Oh, I can't do anything. Man, somebody vacuumed the carpets. Somebody cleans the chairs. Somebody decorated and did a great job of that. There's all kinds of things that you can do for God. Doesn't matter. You have that. You have that. And God's looking at you and going, when are you going to serve me with the talent I gave you? When's that going to happen? See, as you spiritually grow, you start seeing those things. You start understanding, man, God can use me in that way. Man, I'm pretty good at turning wrenches. I can help out. Whatever it may be, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but God has something for you to do. Spiritually, we must understand that spiritually, growth needs to happen. And it doesn't happen unless you're in your Bible, you're in your book, and you're trying to get closer to God. You're trying. I'm telling you. The more you draw to Him, the more He draws to you, and He starts revealing more and showing you more and allowing you to see more, and it's amazing. It's amazing to watch God do that in your life. And then lastly, the last part of this chapter, we see the perfect address. The perfect address. He already hit them with, you did this to Jesus. And now he just gets a little bit deeper, okay? Now he really starts preaching. He says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. You didn't know any better, okay? Ignorance, you didn't know. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. They've been talking about Jesus the whole time. The whole time they've been talking about Jesus. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto him, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He gives them exactly what they need to hear. You need Jesus. He tells them, you need Jesus. You crucified him. You chose a murderer over him. You need him. You need him. Let me read this verse for you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This is Paul speaking, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You need Jesus. You need him. You need him in your life. You need him in control. You need him to be every step of the way. You need Jesus. We are together with God to share the gospel with all who will listen. What can happen when we're together with God? I'm going to stop. Holy Spirit says it's time. I got a couple more verses, but this, what can really happen when you're together with God, doing what he has asked you to do? He just wants you to tell someone else about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. What is it? What is it that's stopping you? That fear factor? I've seen teenagers run up to someone, hand them a track, and just bolt the other direction. This is what God says. It's just getting the word of God into someone else's hand. I love you enough that you need to read this. I'll give you this. Our pastor got saved from a gospel track. Someone just left it on his door. They were out doing door knocking and knocked on his door. Nobody was home. They just kind of left the track on his door. And he got home and he saw the track. He put it down, put his beer on top of the track, and went about his business. A week later, his nephew, 17-year-old nephew, died in a motorcycle accident. He was broke up. I mean, it was one of his favorite nephews. I mean, just one of those family members that was really close to him. He's at home and he sees that track with that water ring on top of it. He picks it up. He starts reading through it. He goes to work that day and he can't get over the fact whatever he read in that track was just wearing heavy on him. He went out to his truck that day, read through that track again, and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Why? Because someone, whoever it might have been, decided, I want that person to know Jesus. And I'm just going to leave something there. You will never know the power of the Word of God if you don't give it out. You won't know. Do that for me. Be together with God. Tell others about the Jesus that you know and love. Tell them about Jesus. Amen.